Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force of bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. Today is the first day of March 2018, the year that we start to turn some of this nonsense around, because it's way past due. People are slowly waking up. The long sleep they've been in for decades. And that's a good thing. Anyways, the new budget that got passed here in Canada, the federal budget, under the auspice of Morneau, seems to be a bit of a problem. Apparently, they've doing like they do in the United States. They put these budgets and stuff together and then hide crap in it. And nobody ever reads these things, right? They just pass them. Too big to read. Too much trouble to read. You know, now here in Ontario, we have a lieutenant governor who is the lieutenant governor at the time, has the status of queen in place. Now, the queen was supposed to sign off on all laws and that came through the legislature, so of course the queen can't be everywhere. And so they put in a governor general for Canada, and each province has a lieutenant governor. Now, I called the lieutenant governor's office when, what the hell is his name? Anyways, the last lieutenant governor we had in Ontario, his name will come to me here eventually, but he, his claim to fame was he was a weatherman at one time. And but he was in a wheelchair, and he was made lieutenant governor when they were pushing all of this access to buildings. And he was kind of like the spokesperson or who to look up to, that all these buildings had to be wheelchair access and accessible to people with disabilities, which is fine with me, right? But this guy knows nothing about law. I mean, he was a weatherman. not a law in weather, not a lot of law need to be known in weather. And he was a former lieutenant governor's office, and I said, you know, like, the lieutenant governor, he signs, no bill can become law until it's signed off on. So the so-called laws, which is just all legal jargon, used to deceive you and gain advantage over you, that's what a jargon language is, the language of the thieves through deception and in order to take advantage of you. And so when I was talking to the office, they said, you know, this guy doesn't have any legal training, but he signs off on all of these bills to make them so-called law. Now, does he read them before he signs off on them? And I'm told by the office, well, no, he just signs them. So he doesn't even know what he's signing. Well, no, he just signs them. So this is all supposed to be checks and balances, right? We don't have any of that. I learned that way, way back in the early 70s. Whoever gets voted in this country, be it in the province or on the federal side, can do basically whatever the hell they want if they have a majority government. Because if they have a majority government, everything that they bring forward in the House is going to pass. And the lieutenant governor just signs it off, or the governor general just signs it over, or signs it off. Boom, there's law. So now our lieutenant governor is a UN hag, good old Elizabeth Dowdswell, who I saw a video of hers. It's just sick and tired incrementalism. Let's just get it done. So now she's the lieutenant governor of Ontario. So, and she was head of UNEP, the United Nations Environmental Program. Started by Morris Strong. Very dangerous stuff, but this is our lieutenant governor now. How's that happen? Go back to this story. And Canadians' confidential tax info to be shared with police in other countries. Now, this is just more of this globalism garbage. This end of nation state, where you are not protected anymore, your information is going out in the global market, so to speak. In an inconspicuous section tucked into a small 78-page annex in the budget, the government says it wants to give police and tax authorities new powers to fight tax evasion and advance international investigations into serious crimes ranging from drug trafficking and money laundering to terrorism. Well, that's all the businesses that the government's in. The government's in the drug business. The government's in the money laundering business. And the government's in the terrorism business. Because they're terrorizing the population of this nation. And they can't get enough drugs into people. And now they've got the monopoly on weed. So are they going to start arresting themselves? I don't think so. But they are the criminals. The sharing of information internationally for the investigation, possession, and suppression of serious criminal offenses, both tax-related and non-tax-related, is vital to the global light, or the global fight against serious crime, and it's, consistent with the government's commitments to address global tax evasion and improve the fairness of the tax system, says the budget annex. A civil liberties advocate accuses the government of using the budget to hide controversial changes. If you can get something buried in the budget and nobody knows about it, sometimes you can get something passed without getting the kind of heat it deserves, said Michael Bryan, executive director of the Canadian Civil Liberties Association and a former Ontario Attorney General. Well, he should know that civil liberties are no liberties at all. He should know that, but then he was a lieutenant governor, so he's probably not real bright. Well, this particular thing, he says, deserves a lot of heat from the opposition and scrutiny from the media. Well, the media has been pushing the globalist agenda since before I was born, and that was way back in 54. And he's asking the media to be the scrutinizers and get a lot of heat from the opposition parties. Well, the opposition parties are all pushing the globalist agendas. Now, when somebody's reading this that doesn't know anything, they'll go, yeah, that's what should be going on. That's exactly what should happen. Well, it ain't gonna happen. Because they're all pushing the globalist agendas. Bryant goes on to say that the proposed changes risk affecting Canadian civil liberties. It should be introduced and debated as part of a separate bill. The big concern is that Canada would be unwittingly participating in a Star Chamber investigation, a prosecution of somebody in another jurisdiction, or that Canadians would, in essence, be thrown under the bus and information would be shared with other jurisdictions that don't have our due process and constitutional protection, he said. Well, we don't have any constitutional protections. And yeah, we've been thrown under the bus by our own so-called government. Asked about the issue Thursday, Finance Minister Bill Morneau said that the provision is necessary to track potential tax evaders, money launderers, and terrorist fundraisers. We are talking about people who are being accused effectively of crime. So we are looking to make sure that we have a system that can deal with people who are doing things that are inappropriate in a way that respects all Canadians' rights and freedoms, he said. Well, Mr. Finance Minister, we're looking for a system that can deal with people who are doing things that are inappropriate. Well, that's you, sir. That's the government. It's the legislature. It's the judicial system. It's the education system. Are all doing things that are inappropriate. So I don't know who you think you're pointing the finger at. He goes on and says, we do have a responsibility to make sure that the international network of terrorist financing or money laundering is dealt with in a way that's appropriate to this challenge, which is big. Well, the network of terrorist financing or money laundering, you can look at the UN and all of their agencies, because they're the globalist terrorists. And we're funding them. So the government's financing the terrorists with your money. But see, when somebody doesn't know anything, they'll read this. Yeah, we do have a responsibility to make sure international network of terrorist financing or money laundering is dealt with. Absolutely, says the average Canadian who's about as dumb as a box of frickin' rocks. Three separate provisions outlined in the budget annex would embrace the powers of the Canadian authorities to share confidential information about Canadian residents. Currently, the Canadian Revenue Agency, which, by the way, the Canadian Revenue Agency is not part of Canada. It's one of these arm's-length bureaucracies they put up. Like the Children's Aid Society, the SPCA, the OEB, and a horde of other ones to screw you, and you ain't getting protected by it. Currently, Canadian Revenue Agency can share confidential tax information about Canadians with authorities in other countries that are investigating serious cases such as tax evasion. However, under the Canadian law, the CRA cannot share that information with officials in another country investigating a crime other than tax evasion. While many of Canadians' mutual legal assistance partners are able to share tax information in response to a request from Canada for mutual legal assistance, Canada lacks the legal authority to reciprocate, officials wrote in the budget annex. That's about to change. Budget 2018 proposes to enable the sharing of tax information with Canada's mutual legal assistance partners in respect of acts that, if committed in Canada, would constitute terrorism, organized crime, money laundering, criminal proceeds, or designated substance offenses, says the document. Canada currently has mutual legal assistance agreements with 35 other countries or bodies, including the United States, Brazil, Belgium, France, Israel, Russia, and China. That means authorities in one of those countries investigating someone for a crime like money laundering or drug trafficking could apply to Canada for that person's tax records and obtain them. The proposed new policy affects more than tax information. While tax authorities in other countries can ask Canada for an individual's tax information, that policy currently doesn't extend to other information like bank account records. Under a second proposal, the government would allow the legal tools contained in the Mutual Legal Assistance in Criminal Matters Act, such as court orders, to be used to obtain information being sought by another tax authority. Policy gives police more access to tax information. These tools include the ability for the Attorney General to obtain court orders to gather and send information. The government also plans to give Canadian police more access to tax information. Currently, police investigating certain crimes can obtain a court order to get income tax information. The government plans to extend that ability to access confidential information to the Excise Act, which taxes a variety of products, including tobacco and alcohol. While the proposal was included in the budget documents, it does not require any government spending. When asked by CBC News, I love this part. When asked by CBC News on budget day, Morneau read the provisions, okay? The finance minister read the provisions, but was unable to explain them, referring questions to finance department officials. An advisor to the prime minister's office and an advisor to the finance minister also were unable to answer questions about them. A finance official later said the proposals originated with the Justice Department. While the proposal was included in the budget, it will require approval of Parliament before it can become law and implemented. Finance Department spokes Jack Aubrey said that it has not yet been decided whether the policy will be part of the budget implementation bill or some other piece of legislation. Well, if they hadn't got caught, it would have been voted on and it would have passed. and never, ever, ever saw the light of day. But apparently nobody can explain it, not the finance minister, not the advisor from the prime minister's office, and say, well, I don't know, it came from the justice office, it came from the justice department. Well, we haven't heard from anybody from the justice department. The proposals, he said, are an extension of existing legal processes, not lawful processes, legal processes, which are not law, which include safeguards such as the requirement that judges in such cases grant two court orders, one to obtain the information and a second to permit sharing it with authorities in another country. Well, that ain't going to be too damn difficult. The entire judicial system is pushing the international agendas. I think Canadians should always care about their confidential taxpayer information, how it's being used, and if it is being shared, it is always incumbent on the government to ensure that the information is treated confidentially and Canadians are aware of how it might be used across the government if it ever breaches the silo of the tax department or outside of the department, but also outside of the country. The proposals came as the government also announced measures to step up its fight against offshore tax evasion. For example, the government plans to invest an extra $90.6 million over 5 years to address additional cases of tax evasion and aggressive tax avoidance, and will provide $41.9 million more over 5 years to hire staff at the Tax Court of Canada. The budget also contains measures to tighten up rules surrounding foreign affiliates. Anyways, now, your finance minister, like all the rest of these jackasses, have a bit of a problem. You know, so many of these people are attached at the hip, if you will, foreign relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg outfit, and so on and so forth, the Club of Rome. Now, these are the people that are supposed to be running your country, but everything they're attached to is about destroying your nation. And that's just bloody wrong. But hey, nobody's been paying attention. So let's see. Bilderberg meeting 2016. Bill Morneau and Chris Hadfield attended that, which is a secret meeting of internationalists, of globalists. And then you wonder why this stuff ends up in these bills. Because these guys, Chris Hadfield, among, 130 participants invited to this year's highly secretive Bilderberg meeting. Well, anybody that's going to secretive meetings has no right to have anything to do with a government. You know, we keep hearing these governments over and over and over and over. Every one of these governments keeps saying the same shit. You know, we want to be more transparent. Well, that's a bit of a joke. You know? And you have, let's see. Let's see what we got here. Paul Martin was the liberal finance minister and in the Krejci government. Just like Morneau is the finance minister now. And Paul Martin went to Bilderberg. And so we have you can just slam names in here, right? I mean, it just keeps going. Now these people go to these secret meetings to put the deal together. The media's on side and push the agendas that are settled at the Bilderberg meetings and other meetings, the trilateral. And the. I mean, if you look at how many Canadian politicians or members or were members of the Trilateral Commission, make your head spin. And the worst part is that all of these top-level federal politicians all end up in the Privy Council, the Queen's Council, the Queen's Privy Council, and they all take a oath of secrecy for life. And they keep telling you about, you know, transparent government. I don't think so. These are criminals. There's no other way to describe them. No other way to describe them. Stephen Harper, the Conservative Prime Minister, Bilderberger. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on, and people go, well, you know, Harper was a pretty good Prime Minister. What are you, a retard? The guy stood at the podium in 2010. At the G20 meeting, of which Paul Martin, the ex-finance minister, ex-prime minister, was one of the guys that set up the G20. And then your conservative prime minister says, oh, this is a loss of national sovereignty. Of course, the media never put that out. I mean, that's a pretty big headline when your prime minister is standing there saying that this meeting is a loss of national sovereignty, and the media doesn't pick this story up and run with it. I went as far as to phone the prime minister's office to ask for an explanation of what was meant by this is a loss of national sovereignty, referring to the G20 meeting. What response did I get from the Prime Minister's office? Oh, that. That was unfortunate. But we're not allowed to discuss that. Well, that sounds pretty transparent, doesn't it? I mean, for all intents and purposes now, Harper was correct. This is a loss of national sovereignty. And then Tinkerbell Trudeau gets elected and says that Canada is the first post-national state. And what does the UN and their partners want? The end of nation states. Can't have a world government as long as all these nation states are operating independently. I mean, people should be absolutely just angry. And the sad part is you're paying for all this nonsense. You're paying for your own demise. Now, you don't have the media chasing these guys around going, well, you were at the Bilderberger meeting. Well, yeah. Well, what are you doing going to these secret meetings? Well, we can't tell you because it's secret. But you're supposed to represent the country and the people in the country. Well, where are you getting off on going to these secret meetings? Well, it's kind of a secret. If we told you, you wouldn't be happy. And on it goes. And on it goes. Nobody, and I mean nobody, from your local town councillor to the prime minister of this so-called country has the interests, not the slightest interest, in a good outcome for you. They're only interested in pushing the global agendas. And the global agendas are quite ugly. Get you out of your private transportation. Get you off your private property. I mean, they even go as far as say air conditioning isn't sustainable. But all of this, I mean all of it, comes out of the United Nations. And their partners in crime. And who are their partners in crime? Your government. Your government is a partner in the global crime of destroying you and your nation. Back in the day, I mean, I really love it back in the 1200s when people could think. I mean, when they figured out what the hell the problem was, they went after lawyers with the intent of killing every damn single one of them, including all the judges who are lawyers. Because they were the ones that were causing all the trouble. And apparently they got a lot of them, but they didn't get all of them. But, you know, they did know how to say no. They went to King John and said, "You sign this, you son of a bitch." You see, because the whole idea that you couldn't be the king unless you swore an oath to uphold the law, as per the King James Bible, the lawyers created the legal system, which is not law. And they actually went to the king and they explained it to him. That he could sell the land, make a lot of money. And the king, probably being more honest than the lawyers, went, "What are you, stupid? If I sell the land, I won't be the king because there'll be nothing to be the king over, you idiots." But being the lawyers, being the jargon language users, the language of the thieves to gain advantage through deception, explained to the king that, well, no, you're not going to sell the actual land, the terra firma, so to speak. Okay? You're going to sell an abstract made up in the mind. So they'll think they're buying the land because they'll have the right to sell it, but they're not selling the land. You will always own the land. And that same stupid game is going on to this day. Controlled and run by the lawyers. You don't have a government, you have lawyers. Who writes the legalese into all the laws, so-called laws, the policies, the lawyers. And what are most of the people in your government, at least at the top level? Lawyers. And who are the lawyers working for you? Not a chance. Lawyers are working for those who wish to control every aspect of your life and every resource on the planet. So I kind of feel bad that the people in the 1200s didn't get the job done. But everything became illegitimate when the king or the kings and queens submitted to the lawyers. The turn is to turn from one lord to another. There's only two. One's good, one's evil. One's moral, one's amoral. And when the kings turned to those offering benefits, sign here, we know that story. At that point, the king did not have any authority to rule. He lost his authority to rule because he broke his oath. And that's where we are today. We're run by the evil, amoral sons of bitches, the deceived man. Take heed, no man deceive you. We kind of failed that test pretty badly. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean we can't fix that. Once we know what's going on, then really the simple answer is no. We ain't putting up with this. You have no authority because you lied, you deceived, and now that we know that you deceived, once we know that legal ain't law, it's a simple matter of standing up and saying no. It's all it takes. Just like them people on their knees holding up the card table for the so-called elite, while they're enjoying themselves, and the beaten down or holding up the table. I really like that one because, you know, they stand up. The table goes flying. Game over. In other words, no, we don't want to kneel under your table anymore. We're tired of it, so we're going to stand up like men. Okay, we're not going to kneel down like beaten dogs. We're going to stand up like men. Well, the table goes flying at that point. Game over. You've just taken back your rightful authority of man. You ain't a people. You're not a human. You're a man or a woman. Simple as that. Then they're done that moment. We just have to keep moving the message until we get enough people to stand up and say no. But we better get it pretty damn quick. Because they're coming at us hard. Now, I wish more people would read UN documents. I know they're a pain in the ass to read because they're written in a messed up situation, but you know, there's another story here out of wherever. Is this it or what? Nope, this ain't it. Let's see if I can find it. Anyways, there's a story. Where did I put that? Let me see if I can find it. Well, here it is. Mayor John Tory blasted for saying it's unusual for Toronto parents to live without a car. Now, he was pushing the transit system again, which is all about the end of your right to private transportation through the UN. But Mayor John Tory's quip that it's unusual for parents in Toronto to not have a car is drawing criticism online and at City Hall. Tory made the comment during a morning news conference Wednesday, where he vowed children would contribute or continue to ride the TTC for free for as long as he was the mayor. He rode a TTC bus full of young students to the event. I met a couple of kids on the bus, and we were talking about the fact that their parents don't have a car at all. That's unusual, Tory told reporters. Well, not really. Tory continued to note things are changing, change driven in part by kids who have grown up riding transit, and that he sees that as a positive thing for Toronto. But the suggestion that this isn't already a really reality across the city was met with scorn online. Now, where did I see those numbers? He points, at City Hall Councilman Gord Perks said, suggesting that it is unusual for a family in the city of Toronto to not have a car is both wrong and misleading. He points to 211 data, which comes from the research by the University of Toronto commissioned by the city that shows 23% of Toronto households don't own a vehicle, while that number is actually 45% in downtown core. Even in the inner suburbs, the numbers range from 13 to 27% that don't have a car. Meanwhile, new car sales numbers show a dip in sales in Ontario and the city. Car sharing companies are increasingly catering to Torontonians, including families who are opting not to own a vehicle. Perk warns that considering those people's needs threatens the city's decision making. It leads us to a wrong conversation. Now, conversation is not a good term, okay? Conversation leads you to suggestion, which leads you to hypnotism, and now you don't have a family car. About how we build our transit systems, how we make our streets more bike-friendly, not car-friendly, and pedestrian-safe, how we achieve Vision Zero, he said. Now, what the hell is Vision Zero? Now, where does Vision Zero come from? Well, I don't know. Vision Zero comes. I don't want to lose some of these stories here. Okay, this will work. If you just do a little bit of research, Vision Zero, which is what they're pushing in Toronto, and you put in United Nations. Oh my, that was real tough, wasn't it? Global Vision Zero, reaching a new era in road safety and sustainability. Oh, wait a minute, I'm at a UN website. This is a discussion, Sunday the 27th, November 2016. Global Vision Zero, reaching a new era in road safety. Does not come from the city of Toronto. The councillors didn't come up with this. The mayor didn't come up with this. The globalists came up with this to get you out of your damn car and put you on transit so you only go where transit goes and that's it. That's a breach of trust. A breach of trust is treason by definition. And so we have all of this nonsense here. And we have all our biographies of all these dipshits who are involved in Vision Zero. And we have the documentation for it. And they love to use data. Lead entity, John Tory? No. City of Toronto? No. Who the hell is the lead entity of this thing? Oh, I see. The UN Economic Commission for Europe. And they go into all these road deaths and all of this stuff, right? So, you know, how are we going to stop the road deaths? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And possible questions for discussion. What policies could most efficiently enable us to achieve the road safety-related sustainable development goals? And how can UN road safety conventions be implemented to benefit road safety? Question number two, how the various road safety activities could be most effectively financed? And number three, is Vision Zero achievable on the global level? What needs to be done to achieve it? Well, what needs to be done to achieve it is to keep having your local councils implement it and have the taxpayer pay for it. And that's how they get you out of your cars. Now, it's probably in the Rockefeller Foundation. It's probably in the Carnegie Foundation or something similar. And these politicians of ours say they're doing this for our benefit. Well, they're not doing it for our benefit. They don't do anything for our benefit. They do it for the globalist benefit. And what do the globalists want? End of nation state. What do they want? They want you out of your houses. What do they want? They want you out of your cars. What do they want? They want you shoved in high-density shitbox little apartments in the city where your only transportation is transit that you built, which you shouldn't have, because it's a con game. And then you ain't going anywhere anymore except where that transit takes you. Which means the end of any freedoms that you thought you had. You're being imprisoned in the cities. And now they're flooding the cities with migrants. Which is going to get ugly at some point. Because you can't jam that many types of different people into high-density areas without there's some serious disintegration going on. But then again, it's all by plan. They plan this crap out. For whose benefit? Yours? Not a chance. So, you know, I don't care where you live. I don't care which town or city you live in. You can just go to here and do do a bit of reading or read about something else that's connected to this particular site. And you will see that you're so, and the sick part is, you know, you're paying these people, you're paying these politicians, you're paying these lawyers, you're paying your presidents and prime ministers big bucks to destroy your lives, which where I come from ain't real freaking bright, folks. Oh, I've got Pierre. Oh, who's on the line here? It looks like Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada. Justin, how are you? You there, Christopher? Where'd he go? You there?
Am I here?
Yeah, is this the Prime Minister of Canada?
Soon to be.
About bloody time.
After you get elected in your provincial election,
get it done.
Then we push forward for me being the prime minister. I'm going to prime everybody, minister.
Free beer for all Canadians.
Damn straight.
That's right. The Canadian Brewery House.
You know, it's funny, you know, just elaborating a little bit of what you're talking about. I don't know. Maybe it's off topic. I don't think it is. But I've had some issues with some Punjabis. Now, that might sound racist, but, I mean, Punjabi is a part of India, correct?
Like, right.
You've read the stories on the CBC about Bell Canada using deceptive methods to entice people to buy their product and then lying to them?
Yeah.
There was a couple of white folks, sorry, so I know that's racist again, but there was a couple of white European folks that said, you know, I got to admit, what I was doing was wrong, and I was doing it because, well, it was my job. Well, just before your show, I got a knock on my door.
Yeah.
And I answered it, and it was a Punjabi guy, could barely speak English. So I'm from Bell Canada. Said, you what? Bell Canada. I said, Bell Canada. I said, that's your first strike.
Yeah.
And, I said, okay. I said, that's your second. I said, and looking at you, that's your third. I slammed the door, and I shut the outside light off. And so now they got all the immigrants are now going door to door selling their products because there's no moral, any white Europeans with morals that want to go door to door and try this scam. So now they're using all the immigrants.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. A guy that broke up with his wife, they're in their 20s, and he's apparently going down to Brampton on Monday to move down to Brampton. Now he's a white guy in about 23, somewhere in there. So we're getting a coffee at Max Milk in town, and it's owned by Muslims or East Indians. And the guys that run the place are Muslims. I mean, they have white staff, but they got a Muslim manager. And he doesn't know what the hell's going on. Just like Christians don't know what's going on. And so I was having some fun with him there. You know, I said, you know, I know a young white guy that's going to move down to Brampton next week. Now, is that still legal? Can a white guy move into Brampton? Or does he need, paperwork or a passport or what? because last time I was in Brampton, I didn't see any white people. And he's kind of laughing. And then he's, and then, you know, he was going on about, you know, well, Scarborough is pretty much the same, and York and Peel is pretty much the same. When you go over to Markham, it's mostly North Korean or Koreans and Chinese. And then you go over here, and even downtown Toronto, it's mostly immigrants. And I said, well, shit, you ain't told me anywhere in the Metro Toronto that isn't foreigners. He says, well, I don't think so. I think that's about what they are now, right?
Yeah, Toronto's lost. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Get it out of here, right? And now, after this provincial election, they are going to start, well, they already set it up. I mean, it's all ready to go, moving them into the rural areas. So, you know, when I was in Brampton, it was like I was in a totally foreign place. Like I told this guy at the counter, you know, and he's a decent guy, really. He's just a young guy with a job. He ain't here to take over a country. It's just a problem. They don't know the over, like the big plan, right? And, you know, when I told him I'm watching buses in Brampton, we're eating lunch or supper or whatever in a nice big restaurant with us being the only two white guys in the whole place, looking at, you know, transit buses going by with writing on the side. I can't, there's not a hope in hell I can read this stuff, you know? And he says, yeah, it's all like that, you know?
You know, and, Ron, what the scarier part
bullshit
is what, yeah, well, that's the really scariest part. It is all bullshit. But the scary part at this point is they are all so friendly with you. For now. Because they are allowed to lie, right? It's like the Muslims, right? They're allowed to lie to you to get to the...
So what are you saying? You're saying that all politicians are Muslims.
Well, I mean, they might as well be.
Well, they all lie.
I think if we want to go deeper than that, we know where that comes from. But what I'm trying to say at this point is when I go to my family market, I see them all the time. And, oh, hi, how you doing? You know, barely able to speak English. And I just tell them to, well, I don't really tell them to fuck off, but I want to because I know the game. And I got snickers when I look at them like they got a hole in their head. And I just stare at them like, don't ask me. And they just snicker at me like, yeah, you just wait. Yeah, Trudeau's going to make it happen. And then you'll be smiling at us. And that scares the hell out of me. Not for me, but for my children. Because yeah. They don't know any better, right? Oh, just be nice, Dad. Just be kind. Be
yeah,
nice.
I know.
Be respectful.
This is, well, you know, it's like Warburg said in 1950 at the Senate hearings, you know, we're going to have a world government by consent or by conquest. And through the school system, through the religious system, through the political system, they have all of these people consenting to the demise of their own nation. I hear music already. Should have called in sooner. We're out of time, everybody. Have a great day. We'll be back. Let's see.
Out of time.
Out of time.
Fuck them back.